Wait for it. Wait for it. All right. Continue.
Am I starting from the beginning or am I continuing?
You just start right. Just start over. It's been a rough week.
That one was not my fault.
Oh God.
Everybody, welcome to the chat wheel. Better late than never. With me this week, Mason, Wade, Dota, Ciotti. How are you?
I am doing very well, Darius. How are you doing today?
Good. Congrats on the new team.
Oh, thank you,
Greg. Greg, what is hip, Laird? How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing good. I'm angry at our esteemed not here guest. I'm very happy with our last minute guest.
Indeed. And with us this week, a very awesome person for jumping in, who apparently was waiting for the show. My God.
That's incredible.
Shiver, how are you?
I'm doing good. I saw a tweet, 10 minutes from now we're going live. It's like, yes, I have something to do while making a schedule. And then 20 minutes later, no chat wheel.
30 minutes.
You know whose fault that was?
Capitalist.
God damn it. So tonight, Capitalist was supposed to be on the show. Apparently, he's the Napitalist and fell asleep. So, Shiver's here instead. And we like her better anyway, so it's fine.
That's right. That's true. We don't even like Cap. We just had him because there was no one else.
Yeah, I know. The only issue was, like, we really tried our best this show to make our notes about, like, stuff he would be into, so he did join Dota Leagues and all that. So if you saw us in the last, like, 10 minutes, it was like, fuck, 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 and then clearing everything off and then finding new stuff.
Just erasing everything.
Yeah. And, like, Shiva's coming on. So let's start the show, I guess. Shiva, how have you been?
I've been good. I've been doing my thing, basically. Just enjoying Dota life, I guess.
What have you been up to recently? Like, I know you've been doing the Hitbox TV, King of the Hill, right?
Yeah. I've not been doing that many special new stuff, actually. Well, I've been casting the Hitbox TV thing, which is actually, by the way, it was a pretty good experience. Just for me, the chat didn't work, which is actually a very good experience, too, sometimes. So that was decent. And the series itself was just fun to cast as well. And, of course, I had 1437 as co-cast, so you can never go wrong with that. So that was fun. And I'm casting the Yard White Festival, which is a Russian tournament, or at least organized by a CAS team tournament, or at least organized by a CAS organizer. Mm-hmm. And that's been a lot of fun as well. So, nice. Yeah, been doing good.
And you were able to see the Dendi Meepo Rampage, correct?
Yeah, I was.
I missed it, but how magical was it? Scale 1 to 10.
Well, you know, it was a bit hectic because, first of all, I was supposed to have a co-caster and I did not have one. So I was by myself, which is, as a caster, you don't want to be with two. It's more fun that way.
We know all about being ditched.
So
we know
much.
All about being
ditched. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful.
So yeah. Sucks.
Well, then, you know, I've casted two matches. One best of one was best of three. And the first one was already kind of weird and active. And, you know, it's CAS team, so there's a lot of kills, so that's very taxing on the voice. And then you're casting next KZ versus Roxkiss, and you know, you're expecting a nice match. And then there's a Dendi standing in, and then all of a sudden there's 20k people on your stream, and you're solo casting, which is not something that, you know, I want to do for 20k people. Normally I just want to have a co-caster with me then. And then there is a Meepo played by Dendi, and there is a Rampage in every single game in the series. So it was an experience, that's for sure. It was a fun one. I hope that people experienced it as such as well. But it was fun.
And we're actually going to talk about that Dendi thing later. But I don't want to get too, you know, sidetracked, because that's for a topic in later. So how do you think Hitbox is going to do? Do you think it's going to be a serious contender against Twitch, or do you think it's going to have a lot of trouble?
I think for a while it will be kind of slow. They'll really have to get their, like, the tournaments, they have to get the sponsors, or they have to sponsor tournaments and sponsor other organizations coming to them. They have to still work a bit on their servers as well, and we noticed that as well when casting their infrastructure was not really ready to handle the amount of viewers yet, especially chat-wise. It just got stuck. But I think that, like, it definitely looked good and looked interesting, and I hope that they can keep it up, and that's the main problem. Like, can they keep it up, and for how long can they invest without getting maybe a lot in return? Depends really on also on how Twitch improves, because Like, right now, Twitch is having an issue with the chat. Chat servers are down. And, you know, they sent tweets about that saying that it was going on, but it's not fixed yet, or at least not on my screen.
Were you able to get your name on Hitbox?
What do you mean? Oh, yes, because I obviously I registered before the series.
Okay.
I have.
Everyone has theirs, but mine. I'm so sad.
Greg's got taken. Mine was open.
I can't wait to just see who's impersonating Greg and what they say.
Yeah, they took, like, so many people's names are taken on Hitbox. Like, it's so
I pray to God that when they stream on the What Is Hit, like, channel, it's like the biggest flame to you ever. It's all the purpose of the chat of that stream is.
I'm expecting there's going to be some grand overlord scheme using all these chat names. I don't know. It's kind of funny, though. Well, whatever.
And so finally, we would be amiss to ask, how's Bulldog?
Probably is fine. Yes.
Did you do the beer date that you're supposed to do? Or the beer meeting? Or the beer...
Beer meeting. Okay. So the last night in Kiev, at some point, Poppy took my phone and tweeted, I said yes.
Okay,
and then my mom asked me, you said yes to what?
Your mom's like, and he's such a nice boy.
And then I said, to a beer. So, and he wasn't even at the after party, so no, that had nothing to do with Bullock at all.
Thank God, because you feel like you'd have to at that point. Like, well, I kind of said yes, right? Now I feel bad. I'm disappointed. I might as well humor the guy.
Oh, well, he wasn't at the after party, so.
Thank God.
He chickened out. He was too nervous.
I know.
Spending the night with S4 is probably a privilege.
You know what? That's very true.
Not bad. Well, all right, so we're going to move on to the actual topics of the show. There was a Reddit thread popping up about the Battle of the Studios happening soon, the Staff Cups, if you will. And it's supposed to be coming soon, so who do you think would take a prize, theoretically?
BTS.
We've got, like...
Easy.
BTS's
team is so good.
Well, who is their team? Because Merlini is going to be in it, right?
Yeah, Merlini, Gods, Winter...
But if all three of them play, then that is pretty unfair.
But
you have you just named three people on three different continents.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Ping would be a disaster, I guess.
I'd still be afraid of Winter.
I still wouldn't want to play them, though.
On the other hand, Dota Cinema has Cinderin now.
That is true.
Cinderin plus four feeders.
I think you can carry them.
You got a good studio?
Good Studios they were pretty good last time, and Too Good is, like, he's amazing. Like, he picks up a game, and then, like, a month later, he's just god mode at it. Like, he got good at Dota so fast, it's ridiculous.
I think to make it fair for the GD Studio, they would have to bring in Pyrian as their fifth, and sort of, like, bring them on the right level of everybody else.
Oh, man.
Well, actually, just in case people don't know, James had mentioned that Too Good Studios is supposed to be back on the 27th. He said 27th, then the 28th, and he said the 27th. So it's supposed to be the 27th, I believe. But they're supposed to be having an announcement or doing something on the 27th because they've been kind of dormant recently.
More announcements of announcements then.
I've heard whispers that Lumi is in Sweden. But I don't know if that's
true. I saw on Reddit today or yesterday that Lumi was apparently supposed to arrive on the 17th, which is today, in Sweden. Or yesterday, I guess. Today, for you.
Depends where you are, yeah.
He's vacationing! What a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
In Sweden, in winter. Who is vacationing in Sweden in winter by choice?
Nobody.
Lumi.
Winter.
There is one dark horse, though. The underdog for the Staff Cup.
Oh, God.
The What Is Hip All-Star Feeders.
I can guarantee the feeder part of that for sure.
He's so afraid of us being in it. He really is.
Like, it's not even like
star part.
Like, we've been trying to talk to Greta about, like, we should, like, get in the Staff Cup. Like, it would be a lot of fun. And he's like, no, like, we're not quite a big enough name yet. But in reality, he just doesn't want to play with us because he would just shame himself.
It came out later because I said, dude, we should do it. He's like, no, we'd be fucking destroyed. All right. They're so much better than us. I'm like, now the truth comes out. But it's not about that. And I blame you.
I played the fifth.
Yeah.
We'll bring Charlie
in
as our
the other Staff Cup, man. I played in a Staff Cup before.
Did you play for GG Nut?
No, there was a... Remember the other Staff Cup that Kawa did?
Oh, yeah.
Like, NY John, Mott. Mott went Kraken Shell first on Tidehunter once, and I flamed him forever.
So who's on the team exactly? Like you three, and then?
Oh, who knows?
Us three. We have no team. We play three versus five. Keep it there.
Us three, and then maybe we could convince. I don't think Charlie would play for us.
We need ringers. Really?
I think Charlie would play for us.
Dokkaddle guy in there. Shiva would play. Come on,
Charlie. Dokkaddle guy. Too.
We'll have a lot of ringers. We'll get Beatiz. There we go. Can't lose. Although
as long as we're playing ability draft.
Yeah, I've been playing Dota with Beatiz lately, and if it's not ability draft, he just abandons the game. He doesn't like normal Dota anymore. He's been
burned out.
Yeah.
Well, last week Greg said like, "Oh, I can't stand ability draft. I don't like it." Then Beatiz shows up and he's playing it like 5 hours a day.
Okay, I've played like 4 or 5 games total in the past 2 weeks of ability draft. I don't like it that much.
Fair weather fan. Oh, BD, whatever. Sure, I'll play
with you. He just doesn't like us.
I'm just
going
to go home.
You are home.
You're home.
What's that behind you?
I have laundry everywhere. If you like, look at my bed, I just did laundry. So there's like 3 loads of laundry just sitting on my bed. It's like tall. You could probably see it, actually.
Oh, you blocked it with your chair. Oh, I know that feeling. You know what you should do to make
so
people not see
laundry.
It? You should spread it out more, put your blankets over it. Nobody will notice. I have a
clue.
Good.
So much laundry.
Put in the shape of a body, right? The clothes underneath the blanket.
There's someone in your bed.
Speculation.
Just kidding. All right,
so the next notable thing, which we've been away for, like, we didn't have a show last week because stuff happens. But Speed Gaming got picked up by Cloud9, and they are very, very happy about it.
Well, it's a real team that doesn't have Marco on it, so I'd be happy.
Staple name?
Yeah.
Saint Management.
Mm-hmm.
I expect that conditions will be better for them. We'll see if C9 might have like a LOL house or something. I imagine.
I mean, they're a pretty successful League of Legends organization.
I think I heard that they don't really want to move though. Everyone's happy sort of playing in their house. Ping's not really that big of an issue for them. AUI doesn't really care about ping as much as most players. He said a lot that he doesn't really mind playing on ping as long as it's below like 160 or something.
I don't know. People complain a lot about ping, and I mean, obviously at the professional level it's really different, but I mean, if you're playing like US West to Europe, then yeah,
the problem is that AUI can't really play in Luxembourg without it being a disaster. I think he does sometimes, but they just try to avoid it.
I guess you have to when you have to.
Yeah. So.
Did you guys see the picture of EE's face like shopped on to like the archangel like ascending into heaven in the clouds?
No.
Yeah, I wanted a wallpaper.
I'll see that.
Let me see if I can go find it and I'll post it in chat.
It's an esport. It's an esports website. ESEX, if you will.
Oh, it's on ESEX?
Yeah, that's where it came from.
I'll find it.
Well, while you're looking for it, we'll move on. One of the big things that happened this week actually was Zephyr did it. They won.
Yeah, I'm clapped for that too.
They did it, team.
I'm really happy.
And Blitz put out this big blog about... Go ahead, Greg.
I was just saying I'm really happy to see them win. I'm really good friends with Kevin and pretty good friends with Will. So, I don't know. I stayed up and watched the games, and they're very good. They seem to be much better than everyone right now, but we'll see if that stays. I think I watched like a blog, or I don't know if I read this in Blitz's blog or watched this in Kevin's like video blog, but they're like 14-0 in competitive matches right now.
Yeah.
And like they haven't lost in the last 14 games, so they're looking pretty good.
Have they dropped a series yet?
Yeah, they've lost series, but they lost one. They lost to EOT Hammer in the winner's bracket. The people that they won in the finals against, they lost in the winner's bracket.
I mean, that's a pretty legit record for a couple months worth of work.
Yeah, well, that's like just like the past, since losing that game, they've gone 14-0. But...
It was kind of amazing.
That's my thoughts on that matter.
Febby was probably the best thing that ever happened to him. Really think about it. You know what I mean? Personal blessing. What I didn't know was that Pyrian had a hand in it, and he put some money up to help him out.
A bunch of people did, but
Pyrian's a good guy.
Yeah, there was... I mean, I waitlisted Pyrian, Purge put up a lot of money, and who was the third again?
LD.
Like, that's a pretty big investment to, like, you know, move a team to Korea, basically. Like, yeah, they had a place to stay, but, you know, good for them for having faith.
They're paying rent.
Yeah,
that
I mean, yeah.
$9,000 worth of PCs, right, they said?
Yeah, I mean, that's it's not chump change, you know? So good for them for having faith, and, you know, really glad that it paid off. You know, Blitz in his blog said, you know, even if we hadn't won, it still would have been worth the experience, you know, to be able to get there and prove that they can really compete. But good thing they won.
I think the big thing now is, since they won, like, finances aren't really a thing they need to worry about while they're there the whole time.
So. And the money gets actually siphoned out every month for like 10 months. So they can't just take the money and run. Shiva, were you able to watch the games?
I was not able to watch the game. It starts at 5 a.m. in my time, and I normally sleep kind of late, so no, I wasn't. But I heard the story.
You have so many plushies.
Plushies. Oh, yeah, I do, don't I?
I have like three. I'm so.
But you know my secret? Because I actually, like, there was a guy that at TA3 that was buying the balls to get that courier thingy, the shitty wizard, and he didn't want the plushies.
Oh, the plushies are awesome.
I get the plushies.
I have one. I mean, items headphones. I have a Tidehunter, so it looks like he's listening to the headphones. Then I have Enigma hanging from my microphone. It's great.
I mean, like, the in-game item cones are cool and stuff, but it's all about the plushies, man. Who doesn't have a good stuffed animal?
Yeah, I got the plushies.
I'm upset.
You have supplies behind you, paper.
Good old
no one
supplies.
Noticed my amazing, like, colored paper, right? There's a fan. There's some certificates
dude,
that
even,
I have.
Even I've got something. You're slacking.
Oh, another plushie. Where's your plushie, Darius? Where is your plushie?
It's on my bar at home. I'm not at home right now. I'm doing this from work. I brought a webcam and my headset, and I'm like, let's do this.
Does your boss have Twitter?
No. He does not. but it's after hours anyway. At this point, it's after dark.
Okay.
It's 6:44, and it's a holiday in the U.S., so...
Anything goes.
Yeah, I mean...
So you've just been sitting at work, like, waiting for the chat wheel.
Pretty much.
I mean, he hasn't worn pants all day.
Which is really awkward, because I'm, like, in a library. I've been watching episodes of Hunter x Hunter for no reason all day. So, new Team Dog... Woof woof. Demon's new team. Demon, Piecat, Misery, Mason, congratulations.
Thank you.
And Fogged. So Mason.
Disclaimer, this is not the same Mason.
No, it is.
Greg, can't you let me have my moment just once?
What's it like playing with Demon? Is he really a bro? This is where you can make up anything you want.
Is he a huge flamer? Yes.
All right. Yes to both. Definitely a bro. Bit of a flamer, but I mean, you know, it comes with the NA Dota territory. I have to say, though, that probably the highlight of my career in social media so far was when I got a tweet the day that Team Dog was announced that was tweeted at me, at WayDota, congratulations on your new team with Dota Demon, Misery, Piecat, and Fogged. I was amped.
Cherish that forever.
I absolutely cherish it forever. I retweeted it. I retweeted it, and Coddle just replied, LOL. So... Shout out to Kyle Guy for crushing my dreams.
This team's gonna get sponsored real fast though. They're so
yeah, this is a hell of a team.
Do you think it's gonna be good?
I think so.
We've done this before.
I think everyone underrates Fogged. Like
he's a very solid player.
Very well on EG, but that whole team was kind of
it was a thing.
Fail. Like the way that everything went down, and like they got DDoSed while they were looking at the house, and like. Thing, like problem, they just had problem after problem after problem. Like their fifth, like ran away from home, whatever. So that was not exactly a stable team. MSS, he like ran away from
home. Oh, MSS.
I did not know that. No, I'm thinking Dota. who was that?
He was interviewed. Like, he was interviewed at MLG, right?
Yeah.
He just kind of left.
Left and showed up. My parents like. Apparently, yeah, he basically just ran away from home. So that was.
Is
like,
his face like on milk cartons somewhere right now?
No, I think they contacted his parents once he was there, but
we have your son.
Yeah,
it's fine. We gave him a house.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I think this team's actually gonna be really good. Piecat and Misery have been. They're kind of like a duo that kind of just follow each other around and tend to do fairly well. Demon's
he's
like
Demon.
One of the most skilled players in NA if he doesn't throw real hard. Mason's a player that most people don't really know about.
I agree.
He's like an IXDL all-star. He is huge flamer, but really, he's really good. Like
he's solid. When
and,
I casted...
Fogged is just Fogged, so...
I co-casted a couple NAL games and was watching the all-star game and stuff like that, and Mason was pretty consistently a standout. Tends to play the hard carry role, so we'll probably see him there. But yeah, he doesn't suck. That's for sure.
No, he's really good. I don't know. I mean, I guess the biggest problem that they have is Demon and Mason like not throwing, but I think that they'll do pretty well.
There's a couple other exciting rumors. I don't remember who it was that made the statement, but apparently like Fada and the rest of old Team Mao's want to go to China to meet up with Black or something like that, try to rebuild Mao's over in China. Did you hear that rumor?
No.
It seems like a rumor and nothing more than that, actually.
Yeah, that seems unlikely.
Maybe they want to go to China and meet up with Black, but just for funsies?
Maybe.
For fun, rather?
Yeah. I'd like to see Black have another shot at something.
Yeah, me too. But I don't think he can do that in China.
Yeah. Like Black. I had a very long conversation on Twitter with him about Dragon Ball Z. It was fantastic.
Now he's close to your heart.
Yeah, I love it. So, Mason, I'm going to let you feel the next point because you're the one who kind of brought it up to us about stand-ins.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Cheever, you actually might have a pretty unique opinion on this because you watched it occur, one of them anyway. It's about professional stand-ins.
So basically what I've been seeing, and it happens a lot in the CIS teams, is that like the top players like Dendi and Havost has a couple times, like stand-in for the, I guess you could call them like tier 2 teams like NextKZ, Power Rangers, and you know they play in their matches and there's obviously a very significant impact when a player like that plays for your team. And so, I mean, I know that stand-ins sort of have to be a thing, especially with not top tier teams, because they're not making enough money to necessarily live off Dota. They can't be there all the time. But, you know, Cheever, what do you think about sort of these stand-in rules and the way they are? And do they need to be looked at a little more closely and regulated more? Or?
I've had, like, my own opinion is still not yet decided on something, because I can't understand both sides. Because, first of all, if you're a team with 5 people and you're fighting against a team with 4 with a stand-in, you're already slightly ahead because you have got your team thing worked out. You are with all 5, you know, you have to be able to deal with stand-ins. But then if you're going to indeed, like for example, if you have a game with tier 3 teams and you have like one is standing Dendi, then I would say your opponent has to agree with the stand-in. And maybe you have to already at the start of the tournament given up 2 people that, you know, can be your stand-ins or something like that. But it's really, I don't have a solid solution for it, because yeah, as you say, people cannot make a living off Dota. Most teams cannot make a living off Dota, and you can't really expect all 5 people to be there all the time, because, you know, real life is still there and for a lot of people still comes first. Yeah. So it's very difficult. And if you then, like, if you're a team of 5 people and one of your players, you know, has to work or something, and you can get Dendi as a stand-in, would you not say yes? Would you not want that?
Oh, yeah, I'm certainly not saying that I wouldn't do it, but...
I mean, I think the biggest problem for me is, like, most rules are, like, if as long as the other team agrees, you can have, you know, X stand-ins. Yeah. But the thing is that most teams aren't ever going to be like, no, you can't do that, like... I don't think it should come down to players having the final say. Really, the admin needs to be the person who's like, yes, you can do this, or no, you can't. Because then you put
the rules has to be clear.
Yeah, you put the other team in a really bad position that's like, you can either say no and look like an asshole, or say yes and possibly just get rolled because the other team has Dendi now.
Yeah, it's...
I agree.
Yeah, well, it's a problem. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but... And like, yeah, admins don't want to necessarily have to look like, you know, the bad guy that canceled the game for all those viewers. Yeah, and like, there's definitely like an argument to be made from like an administrative standpoint. Like, we'd rather have the game go on that people paid for the ticket to see than not have it happen because we're not going to allow the stand-in. But like you said, you have to be the bad guy sometimes for the sake of fairness or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at with it.
My take on it is it's got to be in the rules. And how do you quantify good? Like, how do you say, no, Dendi? Like, if you're on X, Y, Z teams, you can't have them as stand-in because they're too damn good. If they've made X amount of money in a year, they're too good to be on your team. What constitutes that? And where is it from? Is it the tournament's place to decide what kind of caliber stand-in you're bringing in?
Most tournaments get around that by saying you can't be a stand-in for another team if you're playing in the tournament. But yeah. even that is still, like, you know, not necessarily fair, because sometimes, I mean, I don't know. Stand-ins are really tricky, though, because most players really can't, like, make a living, you know, especially in North America and, you know, a lot of parts of Europe. It's just way too expensive to live compared to what you're, what you can possibly make on Dota, unless you're, you know, unless you're one of the top 10 teams and you're winning tournaments. Because if you're really not winning, then you're probably not making enough money just off, like, online cups or something like that to actually, you know, pay rent and eat food. And, you know, you still have to work, and it's a really hard thing to deal with. But I think it, a lot of it has comes down to admin discretion. But at the same time, it's a really hard line to say, you know, no, you can't have this person as a stand-in, because when you leave it to the team like it is now, I just think it's not, you know, it's basically not even a rule, because almost no team is going to say no.
No, I mean, if we were doing the Staff Cup, all right, and our fourth and fifth could be Dendi and Puppy.
Yeah.
Would you think we'd say no? We'd still lose because Mason would feed. But, I mean, other than that,
okay, we wouldn't, you know, say what? No. I've got 5 games left in my solo calibration for matchmaking. I'm going to finish them just to prove that I'm a higher rating than you.
You probably are, but bring it anyway. You're probably like 200 higher than me, but go ahead.
So just to kind of follow up on this, what do you guys think of, you know, it's sort of a similar situation, but with, like, teams in Korea, like EOT, bringing in Jao as a stand-in for their grand finals match.
Sketcher City, that was, like... I heard that the player that couldn't play had family issues. But the thing, like, and apparently Kevin said that he really did, like, there really was a problem. But when you say something like family issues, like, sometimes, obviously, that's a very legitimate thing, but sometimes that's just like, all right, whatever, we're not going to touch that because it could be really sensitive.
And that's totally fair.
But then you fly in, like, Jao, God.
Like, yeah, like, you don't fly finals, in somebody.
It's like, all right, guys, let's hire our assassin. Here he comes, he's going to fly in and drop straight into the arena and try to take out everyone, but I don't know. I'm happy that they won despite that. In Blitz's blog, he said, when he first flooded him, he said, "Get the fuck out of my country, Jao." Which is hilarious, because Blitz is from America. Like, he's American. Dude, that's just really funny.
He felt the patriotism of Korea. North Korea, not South Korea.
I, like, it's understandable that they want to do something. And to be honest, there is a bunch of Americans in Korea that won the sponsorship money of Korea. So, you know, getting him in for just the last finals is probably not the right thing to do, though.
Yeah, that's just... It feels really...
desperate.
Weird to me. Yeah, it's like, oh, well, we're probably not going to win. Hopefully we can find someone to beat Blitz.
But to be honest, I mean, they, like, you know, I totally agree with that. They're still supporting and helping, definitely helping the Korean Dota 2 scene grow. Like, without Zephyr, I would not watch it at all. I would not keep track of it that much. So.
Yeah, it's very
so true. There's like they're creating a lot of hype around it just purely by being there, which is amazing. On the same time, there is like the sponsorship money that's just won is not in the hands of Korean Dota players. They're sticking around, so I fully support that. But it is you know, it's understandable that EOT also wants to do something special, also want to have like a secret weapon, and want to have someone that can do that. So yeah, they bring in Jao, understandable for the only the finals, probably, you know, bit. Interesting, to say the least, but yeah, it's understandable.
It's a bold move.
Suspect,
yeah. It's a bold move, yeah.
But, I don't know. It's whatever. I mean, Demon was there for the whole month. That doesn't bother me nearly as much. The whole Jao thing is just really... I mean, the thing is that Jao is Malaysian, so he does speak language that EOT Hammer speaks, so maybe it was like one of the only good options, but I don't know. It just seemed really weird to me.
It does seem weird, but once again, you've got so much money on the line.
Yeah.
Anything goes.
I'm not mad at them. I don't blame them or anything. I just think it's, I don't know, weird.
If you could get Dendi as a stand-in, they would have probably done that too.
Yeah, I would get Dendi, like,
if you lose with Dendi as your stand-in, you just deserve to lose. He's a playmaker. That's what he does.
But that begs the question, do you think that Dendi could be Team Zephyr 1 vs. 5? Because that's...
yeah, easily.
Okay.
I mean, not literally. You're gonna get a not literally 1v5, but like,
at sign purge gamers.
Oh, whatever.
Quote sign. Hold on.
Oh, God.
All right.
I mean, I think it could. I think that if Dendi was a stand-in instead of Jo, they probably would have won. Yes.
I think that's
entirely possible.
Meepo,
it's a bold statement. But we can never check it.
Hopefully, I don't get flamed. No, we can never check it. So you know, as
that's
far
a bold
as in my
move,
head,
God.
I win. I'm right. So whatever.
Well, our next topic is actually about. Shiva? Did you happen to see the Total Biscuit stuff
yes.
that happened? All right.
Followed
so,
it.
Okay, so Total Biscuit put a public statement on his own subreddit, basically saying. You need to think about what you're saying about people because I know there's 1,000 good things you say about me, but the one thing you say bad, I see, I read, and I take it to heart. And and he can't stop himself. So it's like he just, in the reaction somebody has, he can't stop himself. He knows it's bad. He knows he's, you know, distance himself from it, but he just can't help himself. And he's kind of a flawed individual. His health is taking a toll. It was all very revealing because Total Biscuit, usually, when he first came in the scene, he was just this, you know, British guy with a lot of attitude, you know, did game content. And it's slowly over time, he's shown more and more of his, you know, human side, obviously, because he gets more and more into the scene. And so what happened was it took on a viewpoint about Dota and what happens with people like, you know, LD, with AC, with Greg, with all of the personalities in Dota and the kind of shit they have to deal with. And I use shit as the actual term. What do you guys? I mean, to me, it's like a topic that's just. It makes sense. I mean, don't say stupid shit. I just feel like every time one of these topics comes up, everyone goes, "Yeah, we need to not do that. People need to be treated fairly, like human beings." You know, what if she's a girl? What if they so on and so forth? And it doesn't really do anything in the end. You know what I mean? Like, it comes up as a topic, people talk about it and agree with it, and then the trolls keep trolling. That makes sense?
Yeah, it's such a like it's there, and I think all personalities in the scene accept it to be there. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to deal with because as in it you know it's going to be there.
I've seen your chat. It sometimes it's
yeah.
not very nice.
You know, I was casting
to be nice about it.
I casted for 20k people last Saturday, and I came home from going to the movies in the evening, and I was incredibly happy that for the first time when I casted for this many people, there was no hate thread. Like, that's something I'm happy about. And, like, you know, that's something apparently that's a given for a lot of people, that if you do something, you get hate, and it's accepted for a lot of people. But, like, what Total Biscuit says in that post as well is that, like, it's a death by 1,000 cuts, I believe he'll use that sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true because, you know, most people can take it. You read it every day. You see it everywhere. You know, you're used to you seeing the same comments over and over again. So you kind of, you know, take that into stride. But if it only hits, like, in the wrong day, you're in the wrong mood. I don't know, you got out of bed with the wrong leg. That's a Dutch saying, I guess. But
Makes sense, though.
One day... you're having a bad mood, and then all of a sudden you only have to get like one comment and your entire day is the shit. And you know that stuff like that has a big impact, and I think a lot of people don't know how big of an impact they have, like what they say. And overall, the negativity people, the naysayers, are more vocal than the yay-sayers.
Yeah. Most people who are happy don't, you know, make a thread that's like, yay, good job. It's just like, oh, they did their job. But like, you know, if you do one thing wrong or say one thing wrong in your 4-hour cast, you misspeak once and you'll get a thread about you, and it's like, all right, well, whatever. It's really hard because I know a lot of the really popular, like, some of the really popular StarCraft people, I would say, are more popular than anyone in Dota, like Day9 and people like that. I know a lot of them just say that they never even read. You know, they don't read Reddit, they don't read Team Liquid.
They have friends doing it,
but they
actually,
have friends. Yeah, sometimes. They have their friends read it to see, you know, if there's anything constructive. But, you know, that's like really hard because a lot of people from Dota are like, you know, grew up with, like,
basically
came from the community. Yeah, in the community, like, I know for me at least, it's like I could never like step away from the community. It's where I met a lot of people. You know, you kind of came from it. We started, me and Sheever both started at a similar time at Ghost Gamers, like a really long time ago, right from the community. So it's really, it sucks when, I mean, now it's like, sure, the subreddit's 10 times as big as when we started, but it hurts just as much to have shitty things on there. So
yeah, because are you suddenly going to stop reading forums because you turn into a personality? No, and it's, you know, it's in your rhythm. You're gonna read it.
And it's like, it's the opposite of what you want to have to do. Like, you know, when you be more popular personality and like you're known by people and people tune in to what you do, you want to be able to still interact with them in the same way that you did when there were 20 people watching as opposed to 20,000 people watching. You know, you want to try really hard not to lose that personableness with your audience and with the community. But I mean, I think one of the really important things that he said, that Total Biscuit said, is that thick skin can only get you so far. And, you know, the death by a thousand cuts, you know, your thick skin might absorb 999 of them, but when that thousandth one comes down, there's nothing you can do. It's just, eventually, it's going to hit you, and you sort of have to make the decision, like he did, to pretty much withdraw himself completely, just, you know, for the sake of his own mental and physical health, or sort of soldier on and hope for the best.
I think one of the classic examples, actually, for us is AC, right? Because AC was very warm, welcome to the community. He would read off every name in a chat, no matter 20,000, 30,000 people, right?
That was still one of the most incredible things.
It actually was. It's amazing. I've never seen anyone do that before in my life, and it was very touching and honest. And then he went and he moved, and he wasn't able to do it, I think, because just time constraints. And then all the shit happened, right, with the D2L and the stream quality, the amount of ads on it, and all this stuff started snowballing, and they fixed it. But ever since that time and the flame he's taken, because like it goes like we love Cap, we hate Cap, we love Toby,
like
we hate Toby.
Yeah, it's like the flavor of the month on Reddit.
It's the bandwagon. Yeah. Hop on it and you'll see where it ends. Yeah.
And so what happens is like he stops talking as much, you know? And does it suck? Yeah. Do I think we, as a community, had something to do with it? Fuck it. Yes, I do.
You can't really stop it, though.
No, you can't.
The community gets so large that, I mean, my biggest thing is criticism is one thing. Like, getting real criticism is something that, you know, I actively like seek out good criticism, like not necessarily positive criticism, but like good quality criticism that, you know, what can I do better? Sometimes I even watch my own casts, which is like the most painful thing, but things like that is like. Criticism is fine, but when you see threads that are just like, fuck this person, they suck, they did nothing right, like, that shit is just terrible. Like, don't do that. Criticism is fine, don't just be that random hater, I guess, is my only... I mean, you can't stop it, you know? I have all the people who are mean on Reddit don't watch our show, but it's just, try to be aware, like, use the downvote things effectively. At least myself, if something gets hidden, I never unhide it. Especially if it's a thread that pertains to me, because it's probably just some really,
you know, it's just it's gonna be bad.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I know for at least Total Biscuit, part of the problem is like stuff like that. He will dig down threads because he's sort of obsessive about it, which I can completely understand. Like,
I have
moods like that. Too.
Yeah, like just sometimes I'm like, I want to know what everyone is saying about me, and you look for it and you find it. And sometimes it's bad, and sometimes it's good. And you know, he does that a lot, which seems weird. But really, it's completely understandable when you're making content like this.
And, it's human. But you want to know what people say about you.
Those really bad comments can really, like, really get you down.
Yeah, I heard today from a caster, Coolblue. He reminded me about a video that Purge once made about how to get into casting. And Purge named it like, okay, you know what? It's like you're standing on somewhere and people are walking past you and hitting you in the face. Yeah. And most people don't say why they just continue walking on. Most people don't say why they hit you in the face, and you're like, you know, why are you hitting me in the face? It's like that, basically. You get punched every time, and you can take it at some point, but, you know, it's not constructive because you don't say why you're getting punched. It's kind of a...
I don't know. I don't really know what my end comment is about this. It would just be, just don't be a dick.
Yeah.
What it really comes down to is just don't be a dick.
Be excellent to everybody.
Just don't be a dick. I'll settle for that.
Or the wise lesson, don't treat others the way you wouldn't want to be treated yourself.
Absolutely.
Close enough, yeah.
Shout out to Jesus.
Or Jesus. Okay.
I don't know. Like, yeah, that's Personally, I don't really, you know, I am not nearly as large as a lot of the people in the community, so I don't really get hate threads or praise.
Yeah, nobody talks about you. But I mean, we just hate on you.
I get some really, like, you still sometimes get, like, even at this level, get some really mean tweets, and sometimes you get some really nice tweets, so I don't know.
I am totally bloody unknown, and so no one really gives a shit about me or makes comments about me yet. But I will say, like, in junior high and all that, I was bullied. I mean, I know it's incredible to think about because I'm as cool as I am now, right? But there was a time when I was younger, right, where I would get bullied. And I will say you do develop a thick skin about it. But over the years, it affects you. Like, I was very antisocial in some respects. I wouldn't go up to groups. It does affect you even though you think it doesn't. Yeah. And so that kind of stuff, once you start casting and you have people saying this shit about you, like, oh, she says, oh, well, every, you know, 2 minutes, you start thinking, did I say, oh, well? Did I say mm-hmm. that? I don't know if I said that. I don't think
and
I did. What if I did?
You yourself saying it?
And then you're like, oh, then you stop. And then for me, the worst thing that ever happens is if something, like, goes wrong on the stream, like, for it's gotten better now, but, like, it used to be if anything went wrong with the stream, like, I forgot to change the overlay or something, literally for the rest of the cast, that would just be all I was thinking about. Like, I don't know. It's just, it gets in your head sometimes.
Luckily, Greg has fucked up so many casts.
Yeah, luckily, I've forgotten the overlay so many times that
it's just
now
become
I just,
passing at this
I
point.
About it now.
So all right, well, I think we've hit that topic a fair amount. Yeah. Just don't suck, people. Don't you know, big. Like, if you type in a text box and you wouldn't say it to your good friend and face to face,
you wouldn't say it to the person at a LAN. Don't fucking say it because it's
no. People flame at LANs too.
Really?
Thanks in face. Yes.
You got flamed to your
I
face.
I got flamed
next level.
In well the row
XCI?
Behind me. No, DreamHack Winter 2012.
Did they know
I remember.
You were there?
Somebody
was it like
you.
Offhand? It was like, oh yeah, that's she or she sucks. Like,
nope, I was. Like, it was in range, hearing range, and it was very clear that I was.
I think you should be, like, fully within your rights to turn around and smack him. Like, that should just be okay.
Yeah, and then Reddit jumps on that. That's,
oh
you know, I have to think about my reputation.
I would love that Reddit thread. Sheever slapped me in a LAN event. I would love to see that. Please make that
highest
happen.
Highest upvote ever.
Oh my God.
I gotta say, I give you credit where credit's due. I mean, being a personality seems tough enough, but being a personality and also be a woman has got to be tough. So I give you credit where credit's due. It's got to suck sometimes, you know?
But it does for
no,
everybody.
It's not so bad. No,
yeah,
really
it does.
No, it does, but it does for everybody, I think.
Yeah.
It's even different, like you say, you mentioned AC gets a lot of hate, but everybody gets a lot of hate, and no matter how much you get, even if it's just a little amount, it still sucks, because you already mentioned, like, the bad things, you think you remember the bad things, you don't really remember the good things that are from a thread, for example. So regardless of how much it is, it just, you know, it's there. So, yeah.
1,000 attaboys can be wiped out by 1-0 shit, yeah. As they say.
Yeah, so, and if you flame me in public and in person, I will this time slap you in the face.
Yes.
There you go.
We are on record
that really
saying it's
me.
Okay.
Like,
so
at TI, like, I met Grand. Even Grand was a nice person. Like,
yep.
So many people in person are just, like, even people that you know are, like, the biggest goddamn flamers. Like, when I was at Columbus, I hung out with all the Anecdota kids, and they're, like, all the nicest dudes, like, on the planet. And you go on that forum, and I feel like I'm infected with the disease after I leave. But I love it. Like, I can't get away from those forums, so I don't know. Just, yeah. All right, we're done. We can move over to the
Anecdota. So, MLG. MLG expands to Brazil. They announced a partnership with Grupo Aguia. Thank you, Spanish-speaking friend, to start expanding to Brazil, a market that MLG president Mike Sepsos calls one of the largest growing communities in the world. Markets in the world, excuse me. So, we've actually had a lot of expansion recently in terms of tournaments, right? We've had MLG go to Brazil. We've got Star Ladder, which we'll talk about in a second. How many? I think this is good for Brazil because there's not enough. I mean, remember with American Dota League and the Brazilian teams, mm-hmm. They kind of got
destroyed.
They got rolled. Yeah,
the guy's pretty bad, you know. Mm-hmm. And what do you guys think? Do you think Brazil was the proper place to expand into for MLG, or should have they tried to go into Europe?
Makes
or
sense. I mean, it's an extremely undersaturated market when you look at it compared to.
you know, Europe or NA, or mostly Europe. NA is not that saturated right now, at least for Dota. It starts with Call of Duty, but I have to imagine there'll probably be some kind of Dota event. It seems like MLG is kind of on the Dota train now.
They've been putting a lot of resources into it. There's no reason that we can't.
A lot of money on Dota, so.
Oh yeah, there's no reason that we can't reasonably expect to see Dota and, you know, some other games make their way officially down there if Call of Duty goes well, which I assume it will be. I mean, you have to remember, like, Brazil is a fucking enormous place.
Yeah, it's a big
like
country.
there are many people there, mm-hmm. and you know it's. As the president said, it's not one of the largest growing markets in the world for no reason. There's interest there, there's people there, and there's a lot of teams, you know, a lot of the teams, especially Dota teams that we see coming out of South America, are mostly from Brazil, with some Argentinian teams as well, but,
Peru.
You know, yeah, and Peru. So it's sort of like, it's like you said, it's a very untapped area so far.
I think the SA teams are actually becoming pretty competitive, at least in the NA.
They're doing really well.
Swag and... Both are pretty good, like, in the realm of, you know, the NA teams, like Denial, Sad, Liquid. They compete at that level, I think, at this point, so maybe a little bit below, but they're certainly becoming more competitive, so maybe something like this is really going to help. Sort of on the same, I don't actually, let me see if this is on here. No, it's not, so I'll talk about it now. MLG also restructured Anaheim a little bit. Originally, if you guys weren't following Anaheim, it was supposed to be 16 teams with some amount of qualifiers from NA, and it's like, I don't know, 16 teams, something. I don't remember the specifics. But they've changed it to 10 teams, with the top four teams from Columbus getting an automatic invite, and then there's three NA qualifiers, and then there's this is like the initial draft, basically. These numbers might change a little. But the one thing, really, what I want to talk about that they said is that the three NA slots will not change. There will absolutely be three qualified teams from North America, which is, in my opinion, you know, might be a lot, but I think for MLG, it's pretty clear that NA and presumably South America, if they make some sort of Dota thing there, is really a priority on developing it, making it more competitive, and I like that a lot. I think it's great.
It's the right way for them to expand. Like, it makes more
really
sense in Europe.
The
they are, yeah, and that's great.
Well, Star Ladder has also moved into the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and China, which now we have MLG, right? In the U.S., obviously. We have Star Ladder now joining us. A whole lot of fostering of, like, the U.S. teams is going on right now. The American scene is actually picking up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And looking at the teams, there's actually teams that are pretty good. I mean, if you looked at it, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
When you're thinking about American teams, there wasn't that many teams. It was like Liquid, right? And then Dignitas.
Like, it used to be like top three, like Dignitas, Liquid, and EG, and now it's...
And then sort of like the floaters that just sort of like formed semi-pro teams as they felt like because they weren't tied down by contracts.
But now you have people like, you know, Sad Boys, as I said, which is the unofficial EG team, basically. Liquid. The Revenge is Swag, E-Hug, which Coddle's with now, and Denial Esports. And the teams are going to be participating for the two spots in the qualifier is Team Dog, which is Demon, PyCat, Misery, Mason Fogg, Union Gaming, Houses Down, Osiris, PSST, Asuris, Dignitas, which is supposed to be unofficially...
That is not the new Dignitas team.
It's not?
No.
I think it's
a big joke. That is a big joke.
No, it's now.
I'm almost 100% positive that's not the new Dignitas team.
You've been wrong so many times,
dude. And I've also been right about a lot of roster things. I'm almost positive this is not the Dignitas team. It's a joke. But continue.
And WWD, which apparently, because I don't know much about this team, is named after the player WWD.
It's a Wild Witch Doctor.
Wild Witch Doctors.
Yeah, Wild Witch Doctors.
And IX Mike is actually on the team, which if they got in the qualifier. Right, and they won.
Well,
they could face Liquid.
Yeah.
Is he still under with Liquid?
He's technically still a part of Liquid, but he's not a part of Liquid as a player, if that makes sense.
It's the same
kind of.
It's sort of like, yeah, he's like a... God, using the word mascot sounds so bad.
It really is. I mean, I'd buy
it. But it's the same as with Misery, right? Because Misery is still part of MYM as well as Team Dog. He's doing both. Yeah.
It's a PR move.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, IX Mike's not a bad person that like on your roster. He's you know, he does stuff in the community, people like him.
Yeah.
He's in the viewers.
Yeah. So
I mean, I've had the privilege, I've been doing, you know, casting with Coddle Guy a lot lately. In between the American Amateur Dota 2 League and the Helios League, which we're doing right now, I've had the pleasure of casting almost all of these teams. Union Gaming, Osiris, PSST, Isurus, Dignotas, which goes under like four different names.
Yeah.
These are very good and evenly matched teams. Like, I know if you look at the Helios tournament, a lot of the games have sort of been blowouts, but now that we're down to like the quarterfinals, semifinals, which is Osiris, PSST, Isuru, and one more who I'm forgetting off the top of my head.
About 350?
Yeah, about 350. They're all...
Slash Dignotas. Yeah, same team.
They're all very close games. You know, there's no blowouts one way or the other. So these qualifiers are definitely set to be a hell of some Dota matches.
It should be really good, I think. Yeah, I've watched a lot of... I mean, not a lot, but I mean, I've seen about 350 or Dignitas a bunch, because I like Nayrock, so...
Yeah.
They're very good. The two is very talented. He's sort of like Mason. IXDL All-Star. Derp,
yeah,
Derp,
very good.
Chicken, MC. Those are all very solid players, so... PSST is very good as well. Last Hit Magic is... Last Hit Magic used to be on, like, some pro team
when I started casting. They're sort of like... They're sort of like the typical Mistakes version, too. They've got Phantom Soyun in there. But, yeah, I mean, Relic and Knave, I mean, we know Relic is the RTZ Slayer. And Knave is really solid as well. Last Hit Magic, Finneth, both very good players. So, yeah, those qualifiers will shape up to be great.
Yeah, should be fun.
And especially, most importantly, I do want to give a shout-out to those South American teams, Isurus and Union Gaming, who have both done very, very well in Helios.
Wow.
And House is Down, yeah. Well, I don't think House is Down is playing in Helios. So,
just giving a general shout out.
No. Well, shout out to them as well. But for the teams that I've gotten to see too, they're playing with a lot of the NA teams, the NA, you know, NEL All Stars that sort of have a name to them already, and they're holding their own.
Now in China, right, the qualifiers for China, teams that have been invited are DK, IG, LGD, UC Gaming, New Team,
probably the Dream Team,
and Tung Fu Wanzhong. So the teams that are actually going for the two spots in the qualifier are DT.NGC, HGTNE, CIS. Don't know anything about them, I'll be quite honest.
Yeah, I don't know anything about any of those teams.
Don't know a damn thing.
Qualifier teams, I don't know who those are.
And what is the Tung Fu Wanzhong?
It's just Tung Fu
Wanzhou, rather.
But I'm not sure that they actually have a team at the moment. I think they have like a one-man roster. Like everyone keeps leaving Tung Fu. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. No.
It's like a one-man team right now.
Something along those lines. It's not full.
I know there's about to be a lot of big changes in the Chinese scene. I'm assuming the new team is that Dream Team that's been kicking around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I'm pulling up the thing here to confirm that Tung Fu has no team. Yeah, Tung Fu has, like, two players right now. ZSMJ is the only person I think who's actually on the roster right now. If you assume that whole Dream Team thing is happening.
God bless Molly when we need him. He'll tell us.
Yeah, no kidding.
The Asian scene is confusing for me.
So, do you guys think that we can expect, like, big LAN finals events at the end of these? Like,
I know that all of the... that these people are going... VLOT was tweeting that all these people are going to the final. Well, not all of them, obviously, but people who qualify.
One team from each, right?
Yeah, I think something
like we'll go to lines. Kiev.
Yeah. Like, there will be teams from China and Kiev, basically, is the...
Yeah.
It's kind of like the mini-international at this point, Star Ladder.
Star Ladder has been... I mean, it's been an event for a long time, so I guess it's about time. I don't know.
I'm really happy. I mean, I'm always happy to see more LAN events with...
More
teams. You know, teams from the East coming as well, because we don't usually get to see them playing against, you know, the U.S. and European teams very much, because, you know, the U.S. and Europe will play, and yeah, there's ping issues, but, you know, it can sort of be mediated by switching servers every so often, but, I mean, for the most part, they're not going to play with the teams in China and Southeast Asia just because it's just too far away to ever really work, so it's always good to see a LAN event where the Chinese can kind of come and show what they've been up to as well, you know, more so than just within their own scene.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes, though. I don't know. I'm excited. I'll say that. Just to see... I'm not necessarily excited that it's Star Ladder. I mean, I like Star Ladder and everything, but I'm more excited about the fact that there's better opportunities to see multi-continent teams playing against each other, because it's just not really a thing that happens as much. The expense is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, I think that's our show for this week, unless you guys have anything you want to talk about that's on your minds.
Sheever, have a soapbox you need to stand on.
What?
Oh, God.
Say again?
Sorry, that probably made no sense to you. Never mind.
Something about a soapbox to stand on because everybody else is short?
No. Oh, God.
It basically means,
do you have anything that you would like to talk about before we
do you need to rant?
It's an,
you know,
it's an expression.
Is it like
it's
the old fashioned
Icelandic
like speech kind of thing?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Stand on a soapbox like a box and you like
and you talk,
you know,
to
like
people,
rant or whatever.
Damn it. That
first of all, I don't need a soapbox because I'm already way tall anyway. So you know, that is out of the way.
This.
But thanks for having me on, I guess. Thanks for being second choice. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. We'll invite you first time. We'll invite you first soon. You'll be the. We'll have real questions for you and everything.
It was awesome for you to come.
Thank you for
thank you so much.
The last minute save because
that was fun.
So.
But I did a good time.
I watched, so it's nice.
Sheever saves the chat wheel.
Yay!
Once again.
Oh, so that was fun. Thanks for having me on, and follow me on Twitter at Sheever Gaming. Yay!
Nice.
I'd also wait.
No.
I'd also like to say thank you for making those schedules. They are a lifesaver.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice. How long does it take you to actually make those?
Well, like right now, I'm probably going to be about 40 minutes before I sleep. And that's what I'd make the schedule.
So it was a decent chunk of time. It's like a while.
It's a decent... Yeah, I was actually at some point thinking about not doing it anymore. Because in slow Dota times, it's also getting a lot less upvotes, and you know, then the motivation is kind of gone. Mm-hmm. But well, I kind of it helps myself so much because I know what's going on.
You know what the
and
hell
I
is
want
happening.
To know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I always want to know what's going on, and I always want to know who's casting what and what's happening. So it's helping me a lot. That's how I started doing it as well. Of course, when I wanted to find out which games were not casted. So I probably will continue doing it for a long time.
Cool.
Very useful. Mason, you have any shout-outs you want to give? We're going to be seeing you on Helios tonight, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, again, shout-outs to Sheever for joining us so last minute and, you know, really saving our asses. The fucking capitalist couldn't wake him up.
God damn it.
Damn it, capitalist. We're going to kill you. Just kidding.
No, we are.
Nope. As always, shout-outs to all you guys who come and watch us every week. Like I always say, without you, we'd just be talking to ourselves, and we really do enough of that in our Skype chat. And, follow me on Twitter at WehDota, WehDota, and go check out the Helios Esports Twitch channel in about 10 minutes, where I'm going to be picking up the two best of fives that we have tonight with Kalo.
Best of fives?
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, starting there at 6. Some... It was started at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and there's two best of fives.
Oh, my
so it's going to be a night.
Dude, you better hope those are 3-0, because if not...
Considering
all night.
We're in the quarterfinals right now, and it's Osiris, PSST, Isuru, and about 350, so they're probably not going to be blowouts.
Who schedules
who
two best of
five? That was an okay idea. What the
fuck? No offense to Helios.
We might move the second set to a different day if necessary, but at this point, I've sat myself down. I'm ready to get it done, and I may as well finish it.
Like 15 monsters just lined up, all connected to each other, the straw, so you don't even have to move. Yeah, that's what I would do. Lots of caffeine and whiskey.
Greg, you
also
have any shout-outs?
You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIsHipTV. I've actually started casting again, which has been really fun. So if you want to watch me cast, I've mostly been on the Join Dota community stream. I've also occasionally been casting with Cobble Guy when he is lacking in the co-caster department, so it's been a lot of fun. But the easiest way to find out if I'm casting is just follow me on Twitter, because I generally tweet incessantly when I'm about to cast something.
Guys, Jareth, I'm going to interrupt you, because we forgot our most important shout-out so far.
Alright, I'm ready.
My body's
ready. We have a new team member, guys.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, so yes.
We meant to do this at the beginning of the show, but running around like crazy kind of screwed us over. So we at WhatIsHip.tv would like to formally welcome Shannon Knights and Shannon to the WhatIsHip TV team. She's done interviews with a bunch of pro players.
Like a cracker popper or something.
That was bad, I'm sorry.
Let's pretend
Yeah, we'll pretend. She just did a really great interview with Ake that's up on our site, and she's also going to have another really great interview in the works. Hopefully we'll be out by the end of the week, depending on if the other person wants to respond anytime soon.
Yeah, hopefully soon.
So, another one on the way as
yeah,
well.
And another one on the way. So she's really been killing it in the past like week that she's been here, so super shout-out to Night's End. She's been in our chat since like the start of the chat wheel. She's done a really great job so far, and we're really excited to see what she brings to the future.
Yeah, so
nice job, Mason.
I'll tweet about those. Thank you, Mason. I'll be tweeting.
I got you guys.
As for me, you can find me at @Darius, and I don't do anything but host this really right now. I'm useless. I know.
You're the old man with the wisdom.
Come fold my laundry, and I'll definitely love you because there's a lot there.
Probably smells like dog fart.
He'll trade you 10 Twitter followers for each shirt folded.
So,
all right. Well, thank you everybody for joining us this week. Sorry about the delay. Obviously, we blame Napitalist, and we'll be back next week with. Actually, should we mention the guests we have lined up already?
Sure, let's do it.
Yeah, we've got Pyrian coming on next week.
Thanks for stealing my fucking thunder.
Oh, you know what? I organized it. I can steal your thunder.
Oh, I don't care. I'll take credit for it. That's what Greg does.
That's true. That is what Greg does.
I made that up. I have nothing like to base that on. But anyway, yeah, Pyrian's going to be with us next week. I think we're on like we're going from around what 6 o'clock? We think 5:30, 5:36 Sunday.
Like yeah, Sunday.
And we'll see you next week. And remember, you can tweet at us if you have any questions, issues, comments. Hopefully, we'll have the MP3 up eventually.
By tonight, this time.
No comment. See you guys next time. Thanks for joining us.
Sheever, thank you again. You're a class act. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
It's
fun. How do you move? You just Skype. Is it virtual audio cables?
Oh, yeah. Ian Colin moves heaven and earth to get that thing working.
Because I have not figured that out yet, and I was impressed.
Ask Cuddle Guy.
Cuddle Guy is...